Theater of the Mind.
Since last summer, I've been learning a bit about a subject that previously hadn't interested me at all. Gardening, believe it or not. I don't have a garden yet, for many of the same reasons that I don't have my own haunt, but I've been gathering a lot of information so I can get a good start when I relocate to a place that's a little more conducive to it. I've become quite interested in the concept of permaculture, a design model of food production based on working with the processes and systems of the natural world instead of usurping and replacing them with modern industrial methods. The ultimate goal of this approach is the creation of stable, largely self-sufficient systems that last a long time and practically care for themselves without continuous inputs of pesticides, herbicides, fertilizers, and labor. While the implementation of these techniques seems to fly in the face of everything held dear by farmers from over 100 years ago until now, permaculture gardens and food forests are being created all around the world that use no chemical additives of any kind, no tilling or weeding, oftentimes no irrigation at all, and still produce insanely high yields. And, unlike modern industrial agriculture, which has depleted, sterilized, and destroyed much of the once usable topsoil in the world, the permies are actually building topsoils back up and making them more productive than ever before. Sounds like a plan to me. One important aspect of permaculture is the knowledge of how soils interact with plants. My attention was drawn to a surprisingly fascinating book called Teeming with Microbes, in which a picture caught my eye of an electron scanning micrograph of a tiny parasitic worm called a nematode trapped by a microscopic thread of fungus surrounding a plant's root. These fungal threads, called hyphae, surround and interconnect plant roots and serve a number of beneficial functions to the host plant, including, it would appear, security. Like concertina wire, a loop of this stuff snared the hapless nematode, and one could almost hear the tiny, frantic screams of terror as the helpless worm struggled until it finally fell silent as it was throttled to death. Well, I could anyway, but that's just how my mind works. Granted, that may seem overly dramatic, but remember, even the teeniest, tiniest of dramas seems pretty damn dramatic if it's your teeny tiny ass that's caught up in it. But I digress. One side note, if you can get your hands on some electron microscope pictures of soil microbes, by all means do it. If electron micrography had existed in Victorian times, I guarantee you the imagery in H.P. Lovecraft's work would have been massively influenced by it. Giant versions of insects are disturbing enough, but few things in existence are creepier and more alien-looking than those critters too small to be seen with the naked eye. If you saw some of these things for real on a human scale, your brain would shut down and immediately look for the nearest exit away from your body. Food for thought. But back to the garden. This picture showed but a single example of the vast, bewildering array of interactions that go on in a single cubic centimeter of topsoil. It's like major municipalities down there in the ground. Security, sewage, ventilation, recycling, supply lines, communication, cooperation, competition for resources, repair and maintenance systems, it's all there. And when systems get interrupted, the disruptions to peaceful, productive day-to-day function can become seriously strained or crash with disastrous consequences. Or, at the very least, function at severely diminished capacity. And a gardener or farmer who thinks that all you need to do is throw some nitrogen on some dirt and stick a plant in it and you'll get a bountiful crop is just as deluded as the haunter who decides that if you nail up some black partitions in a dark room and toss a few zombies in it, you'll have a successful and popular haunt. It just ain't that simple. There are a lot of different elements that go into a successful haunt, and just as important as their mere presence is the proper usage and successful interaction of them together. Granted, the home haunt doesn't have quite as many layers of complex challenges facing it as the pro haunt, but the general principle is there. Like a garden without the right balance of chemistry, biology, and care, a haunt without the right balance of content, execution, and support may produce some results, but only a fraction of its potential. Like a permaculture farmer, most haunters want a haunt that works so well that it has staying power, and that its success continues to produce bumper crops of scared and happy hauntgoers without having to pump in obscene amounts of energy and resources every season just to hold its own. A while back, farmers realized that the nutrients most abundantly used by plants are nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, and so most modern chemical fertilizers, called NPKs, are basically mixes of those three things. Initially, their use bumps production up dramatically, but healthy plants require trace amounts of many other things too, and if all they're getting is NPK, after a while the crop's health suffers and yield massively diminishes. Likewise, it's easy for haunters to become focused on one critical ingredient and put all their attention and resources there, but when they do, something else is bound to suffer if it hasn't been figured in. Take props, for example. Good-looking, smoothly functioning, durable props take time and money, both of which are limited resources. The Haunter is either going to pay a premium price or spend a long time building them, meaning less to allocate to other props or other elements in the haunt. A couple of cool new props will undoubtedly help the haunt, but is the return on that investment fully maximized? Good props need the right lighting and placement to really pop and give the full effect. People can't appreciate it if they can't see it, and some props just look better if lit certain ways with certain colors and from certain angles, or with programmed effects lighting. And yes, I know the power of imagination and hiding things in shadows is creepy, but effective use of darkness and shadows requires a bit more than just having insufficient lighting. The audience can tell the difference between the two, and they'll think you're having technical difficulties if your cool stuff is poorly lit, not the impression you were trying to make. Or maybe you have a ton of lighting, but it only serves to better illuminate the fact that you have little to no detail or shoddy workmanship on your backdrops and walls. Like the guy who burns up his plants by dumping too much nitrogen on them, you'd have been better off holding back on the lights to keep the attention off of the walls that you couldn't afford to trick out. Also, in soil, some nutrients, like minerals or organic matter, may exist in abundance, but they exist in a form that some plants can't use. Some other organism, like microbes, fungus, or earthworms, have to process the nutrient to make it bioavailable. You might have an awesome sound scheme for your haunt. Custom-crafted sound effects and ambient soundscapes engineered to work just so with your props and settings. Music written just for you. But if you have cheap tinny speakers or an insufficient sound system, you won't be able to properly utilize that stuff. All you end up with from the audience perspective is a haunt with crappy sound. Once again, not the impression you were hoping to make. One of the most critical concepts in permaculture design involves polyculture versus monoculture. In a polyculture, many different species are grown together, sort of mixed up in the same growing area. That's the way you find things growing in nature, because different plants have ways of benefiting from the properties of other plants. When the right elements are partnered together, they all thrive better. Modern industrial farmers prefer monocultures, with neat, orderly rows of one species, so they can drive a combine over the whole area and process it all in one batch. But monocultures are bad for the soil and immediately make the crops themselves weaker. Monocultures are bad for haunts, too. A haunt that relies heavily on one monster or one concept quickly starts to feel stale. When clown haunts, for example, first hit the scene, they went gangbusters because they're crazy and colorful and a lot of people are afraid of clowns. But the whole let's put a bunch of clowns in a stripy maze thing has pretty much played itself out. There's really only so much you can do with that, and it's been done. Don't get me wrong, I'm not bagging on clowns. They're still cool and they can still be scary. But I think a broader circus or carnival themed haunt with more focus on the other acts, like the animals, sideshows, acrobats, and yikes, carnies, are a much better approach nowadays. Everyone still loves zombies, but the zombie haunt really should have something else mixed in. Otherwise, it's the same all throughout, and it gets tedious. How about throwing in some cyborgs or chemically scarred industrial mutants? Or put some focus on the space aliens or mutant plants or hideous parasites or old-school voodoo witch doctors that created the zombies. The classic Gothic mansion has infinite potential for variety, with vampires, ghosts, maniacs, family curses. That list goes on and on. Go crazy. Mix it up. Variety is the spice of life, and you do not want your audience to get bored. Proper growing techniques, whether you're growing a crop or a haunt, require research and design work if you want something that will become sustainable. You must avoid the approach that author and gardener Steve Solomon calls Samoa, or the shit method of agriculture, in which the grower just dumps a bunch of shit into the soil and hopes it gets better, and if it's not better enough, he dumps on Samoa. Not the most effective approach. Before the hard work of building even begins, the permaculturist needs to research every aspect of not only the crops he or she wants to plant, but also the climate and especially the land itself. The geography, the hydrology, the biology, and the chemistry of the soil are all critical. And one of the first critical steps to that knowledge is soil testing, which, for the haunter, translates to market research. Know who you're haunting to. Go back and listen to Dick Terhune's Marketing Morgue segments on that stuff. He's far wiser than I on such matters. The home haunter may feel that this stuff doesn't apply, but I assure you, everything that applies to what makes those haunt commercials and ad campaigns successful also applies directly to the haunt itself. What's the demographic being sought? What's the age range? Are they working class? Educated? Religious? The area's local folklore, history, even political climate can give you indicators of what will elicit a response in your audience. Do you have a good relationship with someone who deals in a different entertainment media, like a movie theater manager, video rental clerk, if they still do that in your area, or librarian who could get their hands on some numbers that would indicate what the locals really dig. Knowing what the locals crave can give you a big advantage in pumping out those happy crowds. Just remember, in both permaculture and haunting, you don't just slap stuff down and expect it to become a self-sustaining success story right off the bat. It takes planning and work and several seasons to really establish itself. Some things take time to root. Some things must die off and rot, leaving room for the hardier species. Relationships between all the elements must be able to establish themselves, and often this must happen in its own time, occurring naturally. Nature has a way of figuring this stuff out, and, properly maintained, a group effort like a haunt does too. Let it happen and enjoy the process. And when all the elements are strongly rooted, nurturing and supporting each other, oh, what nightmares we can grow. And, of course, in such a place of darkness and shadow, rarely touched by the comforting light of day, if you want things to grow, it's always best to leave a ghost light burning. From the Theater of the Mind, I'm Revenant, and you're listening to Hauntcast.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunted Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.